14. You start looking at examples how God done things, but you look at the children of Israel over there. And God's given them a tent set up to worship the Lord, and they got all these articles of worship, and the brazen laver, you know, where they washed themselves, and the tabernacle set up with the place where Moses and Aaron and them went in, of course, not without blood. And how God set up that place to worship the Lord. And you go over there in that tabernacle that the Lord set up through David, or of course Solomon, and begin to set up that place, and had a place where God would meet with his people, and he had certain people that was appointed for certain tasks and for the worship. And you find over there David's always speaking of Asaph and that man that was set up for the worship of singing and praising the Lord, and the different people that God used. And God's always seemed to set up that kind of place of worship. And you come over to where we're living today in 2020, and God set up little local assemblies like this all over the world where God's people can come in, and other people have other parts of the service and do other things that they do, and have a little place set up for God's people to come in and worship the Lord. And God does that kind of thing, amen. And of course, the devil makes these little false places of set up that's not of God. And I think about an old local church like this, been on the side of the road over here in Hamlet, and how people, you know, pass through and come in. And so just, you know, maybe people move on in their lives and get a little bit older, maybe get married and go out and maybe come home to visit the old town once again. And that old lighthouse, that old beacon sitting there, and they can just kind of mosey back in and sit in a service and bring back memories of what God has done. Man, that's kind of older. God set that thing up like that. And that's what he does, amen. And the devil wants to rob that thing away, amen. And thank God we can come in here today and worship the Lord. And God's got other people set up doing other things, amen. And it's all about magnifying and honoring God. Amen. That's just a blessing, amen. And God does that kind of stuff, man. And boy, I'm just glad to be a part of something God does. Amen. That's where I want to be, is where God wants me to be and doing what God's called me to do. And it's my opportunity and privilege to be able to preach the Word of God to you today. And I thank God that you're sitting out there where you're sitting. And God's put us together like He has. Amen. Just to try to do something for the Lord and please Him while we're here. Man, we don't please Him while we're here. We just missed it. Amen. And I want to just put a smile on the Lord's face, don't you? Luke chapter number 14, look down to verse number 15. God does that kind of stuff. You know, you kind of think sometimes how God does things, and I'm all off somewhere from where, not where I'm preaching right now, but I'm in some other thinking mode, you know. And the devil begins to set up things to rob that thing away. Get people's minds somewhere else, on something else, or some other place. And man, the devil's slick, ain't he? And rob that thing away. I think about, you know, how God set up a church like that, and then the devil come in and try to make a split. Then he split a little splinter over here, and splinter a little splinter over there, and a little splinter over there. And those people that come back through town, looking to go back to that old place and sit down and worship, then the over there with some splinter over there, some splinter over there, some splinter over there, and God's robbed that little beacon away out of their lives. Maybe that's just the way a preacher thinks, pastor thinks. I don't know, but it's sad, ain't it? It's sad. And the devil's slick. But God's on the throne. And we're here to worship the Lord, amen. It's such an honor. Appreciate the good singing this morning, good spirit in the house of the Lord, good Sunday school hour. Appreciate you coming by. Take your Bible, look at Luke 14 if you're not already there. If you are there, look down to verse number 15. Luke 14, verse number 15. What's the first word there? Amen. The Bible said, and when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things. If you wanted to go back this afternoon, read chapter 14, the things that they had just heard about what the Lord had said, how the Lord's going to do things in the future, and what's going to happen. He said unto him, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Man, that's coming fast one day. We're going to meet with the Lord. This thing's going to be over as far as this side of eternity is. And man, things that we can't even imagine and think of is going to come to pass. Jesus said, verse 16, then said he in the hymn, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And so the Lord's going to give this little parable about an actual truth that's going to take place. And he's kind of getting it down to our level. That's what the Lord has to do, is to break it down for us. And the Bible said this certain man made a great supper. That's a big thing. Big supper. Man, we all like to eat. And so you're going to make a big supper. He bade many to come. He wants them to eat, right? And he sent his servant at supper time, verse 17, to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. I mean, we're about to say the blessing. We're about to dig in. It's all here. Pull yourself at the tables. All you got to do, man, it is ready to spread. It's much for all. And the Bible said in verse 18, and they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Sir, but the Lord's made a great supper. The table is spread. The bread is warm. The drinks are cold. Sit down and enjoy a little time with the Lord, a fellowship around the table. But this guy said, I got more important things to do. Verse 19, and another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I must go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. I mean, it's one by one they begin to make excuses why they cannot come. And it's amazing when one makes the excuse and somebody hears them make an excuse, it kind of makes them feel justified to make their excuse. Kind of the excuses begin to spread like wildfire. Well, some other's not coming, and this is their reason. And you know, by the way, I got a reason I can't come too. And before you know it, everybody's beginning to make excuses, and the Lord's done made a great supper. The table's spread. The drinks are out. All you got to do is show up, and nobody wants to come. Verse 20, and another said, I married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servant came and showed his Lord these things. The Lord said, go tell them all to come. It's already ready. And they got one excuse after another excuse and after another excuse. And they had to go back and say, hey, Lord, I know the table's spread and I know things are getting cold. Man, you kind of related. Hey, my mama don't like for things to get cold after she slaved over the oven and got it all ready. You better get at the table and eat. She's not going to be happy. And so he went back and had to let the Lord know that, hey, they don't want to come. And they showed the Lord these things, verse 21. Then the master of the house, being angry, he's upset. He said, the Lord's not never upset. Boy, the Lord gets upset. I mean, he's done a lot to make this happen for you. And now you don't want to come? He's angry. I mean, how do you think the Lord feels all across America today? Well, Bible-believing churches have set up a place to worship and everybody's saying, you know what, I just can't come today. Practically, you know. He's talking about something bigger in the future, in that millennial reign, that supper with the Lord, that God's invited us to come. A lot of practical truths, amen. The Lord set up a place. He has set it up. We know it's true. I mean, he's made everything ready. Man, the singers are here. The prayer warriors are here. Hey, man, the place is set up. The place is cool. It's comfortable. Just come in, sit down. Everything's ready. Hey, man, you ain't got to, well, some of you ain't got to work tomorrow. You ain't got to worry about a thing, man. Your mind's clear. It's the days God set up for worship of him on the first day of the week by the resurrection of our Lord. And it's raining. People say, well, you know, but does anybody ever consider how the Lord feels when you don't show up? He was angry. And said unto his servants, you know what he said? Go out quickly. There's no time to waste. Into the streets and lanes of the city and bring it hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. He said, go get whoever. Go tell them, come. Things are ready. It's ready. It's here. Amen. Well, we ought to be getting them to come, haven't we? And God set it up. We know it's Sunday. It's time to worship, man. Time to put on your nice clothes and come to worship the Lord. And get prepared, amen. And your heart's right in tune with God. The book's going to be open. The singers are going to sing. The man of God's going to preach, man. Hey, we're going to pray that God's glory show up and do something special. Come on in. Don't miss out this Sunday. That might be the day you regret you missed. He said, go get whoever. The Bible said in verse 22, and the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there's room. There's still empty seats. There's still places to be filled. You know what the Lord says? And the Lord said unto the servants, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. You know, practically speaking, you think, this is us today. This is right here. Maybe somebody's watching on the internet. Maybe somebody will watch it someday later or whatever. But I mean, hey, here, us today, God's spiritually speaking out of the passage. God set it up and we tried to bet them to come in. You know what? There's still some seats empty today. You know what we're going to do practically? Amen. Hopefully, by the grace of God, go compel somebody else to come next week. Come on in, man. It's going to be great, man. We're going to meet with God. You know what the Lord said in verse 22? For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. You know what the Lord that was angry went back to say to his servants here? He said, you remember those people that said, no, I can't come. No, I got this stuff I got to take care of and other things to do right now. And they just ain't got time. You know what the Lord said? They ain't coming. They shall not taste of my supper. Let us pray. Brother Brooks, how about pray for us, brother? Introduction. Let's look at the facts of the passage here. We're going to preach out of the book what we're going to do anyhow. Amen. Nothing else really matters except what God said. What's the facts of the passage? And there's the facts about an invitation that God has given here. First of all, we see in verse number 16 that a great supper has been made. I mean, it's a great supper. The Bible said, then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper, and he bade many. I mean, there's a great supper that's made and many are invited. Amen. The table is spread. The things have been prepared. It's out there. The Bible goes on to say in verse number 17, I said it already in the reading of the passage, that all things are ready. All things are now ready. Amen. It's already set up. Amen. Hey, there's a great invitation given to all those that are around. Hey, come in. The table's spread. The food is hot. The drinks are cold. Amen. The spirit's going to be nice. Amen. Just come on in. It's there. You don't need to bring a thing. You don't need to bring nothing. Just show up. Amen. It's already ready. It's already done. Just come in to this great supper that has been made by this Lord. We see not only the facts of the invitation, but I see the excuses that are given. The Bible said in verse number 18, and they all, with one consent, began to make excuse.
It's kind of like they talked it over together. You ever notice when people make excuses why they cannot serve the Lord? It seems like when you hear an excuse from somebody else, it seems like they must have been talking to that one already. Amen. It's like they get together to begin to make excuses why they cannot come. Why they cannot serve the Lord, amen. And it's just like you can hit play and record, and it's just the same thing from a different voice, but it's the same excuse, because all with one consent they have begun to get together and say why they cannot do what God wants them to do. They all began to make excuses, amen. And you know what's amazing? Just like the excuses here, most of the time their excuses make no sense. I mean, there's no logical sense in it, amen. Hey, look at the excuses that they made. The Bible said in verse number 18, the first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, I must needs go and see it. I mean, who in their right mind is going to buy a piece of ground before they ever laid eyes on it? I mean, that don't make any sense, amen. How do you know it's not flooded, amen? How do you know that somebody's not already living there, amen? How do you know somebody else doesn't own it, amen? Who's going to buy a piece of land and have never saw it before? Hey, the Lord's made a great supper, a great feast, and you say, man, I can't come because, hey, I got to go check out this piece of land I bought that I never saw before. Nonsense. It's the same way with people today. They tell you why they can't serve the Lord, why they can't go to church, and why they can't do this. And their excuse makes no sense. But they got them. He said, hey, I got to go check out a piece of land. The other guy said, hey, man, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, amen, and I must go to prove them. I need to see if they can pull a plow. Man, I bought 5 of them. I don't know if they can pull a thing. They might be anemic and drawn up, amen. They might have one with a broken leg. I don't know, but I need to go prove them. I see if they can do what the guy said they can do when I bought them. It's kind of like buying a, you know, beach property in Hamlet, North Carolina. And there ain't no such thing, man. But you know, let's go check it out and see if it's there. It makes no sense what he's saying. The other guy said, hey, I got a wife and I therefore just cannot come. Amen. It makes no excuse, amen. Hey, one of them said, my excuse is I got possessions in the way. The land that I have bought, things that I own. That's why I can't serve the Lord, because I love my things. The other one said, I got to prove some oxen, amen. Practical truth there would be, hey, man, I got much work to do. I can't come today. And you want me to come to church on Sunday? I got to cut my grass on Sunday. That's the only day I get off. Got a lot of work to do. By the way, I done worked 6 days. My 7 days, my day of rest, I need some time to relax. You can't give God none after all he's given you. Yeah, there's a lot of possessions, a lot of things are in our way why we can't serve the Lord. Work that we do, our affection is somewhere else. This guy's affection was more on his wife than it was on God. If it's not possessions or the work that we have to do or the affections that are somewhere else, it's just one excuse after another, amen. Let me use some common sense. Why didn't the guy say, hey, there's a supper that's made? Think about it. Everything's made ready. This Lord's invited me, man. I don't even deserve to be there. You know what? Yeah, I got some land. I can go check on that tomorrow. I got 5 yoke of oxen, but you know what? It can wait till another day. Yeah. Hey, you know what? I got a wife, but I'm sure if he's inviting me, he wouldn't mind if my wife come. I mean, why didn't he just look at it logically instead of making excuses, amen? Hey, there's a way that you can make it happen, amen. Wait to do it another day. Don't put it in God's place. Why is it when God makes a place for us to come and worship the Lord and serve the Lord that we got excuses why we cannot do it and we're putting things before God? Why didn't he say, well, if she don't want to come, my wife don't come, she'll just have to wait till I get back. There's the facts of the invitation. There's the excuses that are given. And then we see, obviously, the Lord's reaction. You know, his reaction is not what we all like to think of, but it is the reactions of the Lord here in this passage. We saw it already. Number one, he's angry. Verse 21, the Bible said, so that servant came and showed the Lord all the Lord these things he gave, all the excuses that they gave him. And the Bible said, then the master of the house being angry, he's upset. I mean, how does God feel about our service towards him? How does God feel that the excuses that we make, amen? Is God all right with us throwing everything before Him? Do we ever consider that God gets upset? He's angry with the wicked every day. God's not pleased, amen. Hey, the Lord Jesus Christ turned the tables over in the place of worship. Boy, He was so upset at what was going on. Hey, God gets upset. We offend God by the way we serve Him. And shunning the opportunities that He's put before us to spend some time with Him. He was angry. Not only do I see that He was angry, number two, what's very amazing to me, that He said nothing to them. The servant came back and he said, "Hey, Lord," he said, "they said they can't come because of this, you know. They got some land they got to go see and got to approve some oxen. Another guy's got a wife." The Bible said the Lord got upset, but He never spoke a word to those that made an excuse. Not a thing. He didn't speak one word to them. Boy, you'd be bad God don't speak to you. Be bad God leave you to yourself and let you go enjoy your excuses. He didn't say a word to them. The only thing He did, He said to the servants, He said, "Go find somebody to replace them." Never said a word to those that made excuses. The only other remark you get about the passage of those that made the excuses, He said in the end of this passage in verse 24, "For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of My supper." He never said one word to them. He never spoke to them. They made their excuse. They didn't make up their mind. Hey, there's some people that made up their mind. Boy, and it's going to be very bad when God sees you that made up your mind and the excuses you got. And He says, "Go ahead and live with your excuses. Go ahead and enjoy your land. Go ahead and prove your oxen. Go enjoy your wife. Do what you want to do. It's your life." He let them have it. And He sought to replace them. Do you know what I see in this passage? This people were invited by the king. They were expected to be there. When the king sent out the invitation, he expected them to say, "All right, what time, when we need to be there. Amen. You want me now? I'm coming. Can I bring somebody else with me?" Amen. Hey, when the king sent out the invitation, he did not expect they would say no. He expected them to say, "Man, what an honor, what a joy, what a privilege. I'll be there." And the place be packed out in full. That was the expectation of the king. Everything was ready. All they had to do was show up. Didn't need to bring a thing. Hey, they didn't need to offer anything. God said, "Come." The king said, "Come. It's there. Make yourself available." And they made excuses. But you know what the truth of the reality is? They're without excuse.
Yeah, amen.
There is no excuse. There is no reason you can say why I cannot when He's already made it ready and He asked you to come and you said no. That's a very simple message this morning I want to give to you. It's a two-part message. There's a part to the saved that are here and there's a part to the lost that are here. Very simple message. On this little thought, we are without excuse. Can I say number one to the saved people today? We are without excuse for not serving God.
Amen.
I mean, there's not an excuse you can give that will get you off the hook for not serving the Lord. Amen. We begin to think in our minds and we wrap our mind around our excuse and try to justify ourselves among ourselves. And the Bible said that is not wise. But according to the authority of the Word of God, we as God's people, hey, the King has made it ready. The King has given the invitation. The King has made an offer. And we are without excuse for not serving God in this life. Look in your Bibles with me in 2 Corinthians chapter number 11. Chapter 12, excuse me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. We were without excuse for not serving the Lord. Without excuse. I mean, He's been too good to us. I mean, He's done too much for us, amen, for us to look at the Lord and say, "God, yeah, I would, but." Look at this passage here. Paul writing to the Corinthian church here. And he uses this little thought of an excuse here. But he uses it in a different light, but I want to show you this thought. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, look in verse number 17. I mean, you wanted to go back and read some of this other stuff. Let's just read. Look at verse number 11. He said, "I am become a fool in glory. Ye have compelled me," talking to the Corinthians, "for I ought to have been commended of you, for in nothing am I behind the very chiefest apostles, though I be nothing." Paul begins to talk about his apostleship and what God's called him to do, but he said, you know what? I'm still nothing. I mean, it's all God's grace, right? He said, verse 12, truly the signs of the apostles were wrought among you. They've seen the signs that Paul had wrought. Look down to verse 13. For what is it therein ye were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself might be burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. I mean, if I'm burdensome to you and it's a little bit too heavy on you, he said, forgive me. Verse 14, behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. He said, I don't want yours, I want you. What is Paul's glory? It's the people of God, not the things that they can give him. He's not trying to abuse this church. He said, but you, he said, for the children ought to lay up for the parents, but not, but this children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. Verse 15, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Paul talking to that Corinthian church, I'm not trying to abuse you. I'm not trying to get anything out of you. All I want is you. You know, practically, that's the same way the Lord is. God ain't wanting to get something out of us. God just wants us. He just wants us to serve him. You know what? God wants you to serve him, and then God blesses you for serving him. And the king just wants you to show up for the supper, and then he's going to feed you for showing up. Amen. He's going to do you nothing but good. Amen. That's how God is. You know what he said? Just like Paul, the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. He said, but be it so, I'm not burdened. I did not burden you. Nevertheless, being crafty, I caught you with guile. Did I make a gain of you by any of them whom I sent unto you? He said, I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walk ye not in the same spirit? Walk we not in the same steps? You know what Paul said when I sent Titus to you? Was he trying to get something out of you and abuse you? I mean, if he done you wrong, let me know. Do you know what? You know what God up in glory saying today? Hey, I give you a pastor. I give you some people to set up under and worship me with. Amen. If they done you wrong, let me know. If they're just trying to make merchandise of you and get what they can get out of you and they care about more the things you got than they do you, let me know. I set it up like that. I made it like that. Will you come and worship? Amen. All I want you to do is show up and worship me and join me.
Yeah, amen.
Paul said in verse 19, again, think ye that we excuse ourselves unto you? Excuse, you see that excuse? He said, we speak before God in Christ, but we do all things dearly beloved for your edifying. Paul's not trying to, or Titus in this passage here, it was trying to abuse the Corinthian church, making an excuse for their abuse. That's not what he's trying to do. He said, I'm not trying to make an excuse for abusing you. We're not even trying to abuse you. We just want to see you serve God and love God and be edified in the good grace of God. But you know what your problem is, Corinthian church? Look at verse 20. He said, for I fear lest when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as ye would not, lest there be debates, envies, wraths, strifes, backbitings, whisperings, swellings, tumults. I mean, he don't want that at the meeting. I mean, that ain't why he set up a place so we can come in and gossip and backbite and tear others down. That's not his desire. And he don't want to see that when he comes there. He goes on to say in verse 21, unless when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already, and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. He's saying, hey man, I don't want to come down there and be burdensome to you. I don't want to have to, you know, preach the hell out of you all the time. I don't want to have to call out all your fornication and hell raising. That's not my desire. Just want to come down and edify you. That's what he said in verse number 19. Thank you that we excuse ourselves unto you. He said, but for your edification is why we come.
Amen.
We don't want to have to condemn all the wickedness.
Amen.
Paul said, I just want to see you grow. In the same way, God has not abused us. He's never done us wrong. You know what the Lord has done? The Lord has allowed us to have a part in His work. Just as the Corinthians was privileged to have a part in Paul and Titus's work. We've been privileged to have a part in the work of God. And it's just a reasonable service that we would serve the Lord. He said in Romans 12:1, I beseech ye therefore, brethren, he's talking about the Savior. I'm talking to you to the saved right now. That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's just reasonable. It's just what's right. We ain't got no excuse to say why we can't serve God. He's been too good to us not to serve Him. You know what the problem is? We got excuses though. You know why we have excuses? We got excuses just like the Corinthian church has. We got excuses because we got sin in our lives. Amen. Do you know what you'll find out when people begin to make excuses why they cannot serve God? They got sin in their lives and they're trying to justify their wicked living. Amen. Do you know what? If you're serving the Lord and trying to serve the Lord, it doesn't matter what hell's thrown at you. If you ain't got sin in your life, you're going to keep serving God. Do you know when you're going to throw in the towel and quit serving God? When you start living like hell. And then when you start living like hell, you got to make excuses why you can't serve God. Well, I got some land I got to go check out. Got a few oxen I got to prove. When I got married, now I got children, now how hard that is. We can't serve the Lord like we used to. Had to put up with all that and all of this, and we begin to make one excuse why after another, and they don't even hold any water. The reality is we got sin in our lives. That's the problem. Most of the problem is that people are not right with God and they need to repent and get right with God. Hey, stop making excuses and realize, hey, you are in sin before God. Amen. Why is it when it comes to the local church and serving God and doing what's right, we got all the excuses in the world why we can't do it? You find people today that are not in church, you know what they got? They got the excuses. I mean, they got them. They can tell you why they can't and why they can't. Listen, why can't you serve God? You're without excuse. Listen to this. You know what? Our excuses will not hold water at the judgment seat of Christ. You will have to answer to God for the way you lived. You're going to stand before a holy God one day and you think you're going to go before the king. I'm talking about you to the saved. They ain't doing right. You're going to go before the king one day and say, well, the Lord, I would have did this, but... I mean, you think you're going to ultimately stand before God in the judgment seat of Christ and make a reason why you couldn't serve God. Well, I would have went to church, but ain't much a bunch of hypocrites down there. And you think that's going to hold water at the judgment seat of Christ, that God couldn't set up a place where you can come and still worship Him, where that book's preached despite all the hell-raising and backbiting is going on. You think that that's going to really get you off the hook for not doing what God said to do? You think that's going to let you off the hook for not going down to that place and worshiping on Sunday and giving your tithes and offers and doing what's right because somebody in the church is running their mouth against you? You think God's going to say, well, yeah, that's okay. I didn't think about that. I didn't think about them a bunch of backbiters. God knew there's backbiters there. God knew there's some people that lie and steal and cheat. But that does not get us off the hook for not serving God.
Amen.
The table is spread in the wilderness. The table is made ready. God set it up. God made it possible. And God requires it in our lives. And we think we're going to make an excuse and God's going to say, well, I never thought of it like that. That's the way some people think in their minds. That they're going to be able to convince God that, you know what? It was all right for you not to go to church and serve God. It was all right for you not to live like you ought to live. You know what? Because by the way, people shouldn't do you like that. You know what? It's just like the excuses they made over in Luke chapter number 14. They make no stinking sense. We're without excuse. You say, people treat me wrong, preacher. And you think you're going to go to the judgment seat of Christ and say, Jesus, I would have went back, but those people just treated me evil. They talked about me. And they lied on me. And you know what Jesus is going to sit there and look at you and say, you know what? That's the same thing they did to me. But you know what? I set my face like a flint, still went to the cross for you. I don't think that's a good excuse why you couldn't do what I required you to do. And I had already made it ready. Do you think Jesus stopped going down to the temple because they treated him wrong? They didn't want to listen to a word he said, and he still went down there. They don't give you, you're without excuse. Well, preacher, people lie, and there's hypocrites in church. Did God not know there's going to be hypocrites in church when he set up a place for you to go and worship? Amen. Are they preaching that book? Are they standing on the truths of the Word of God? Amen. Are they trying to abuse you or just trying to help you? Well, I think they're trying to abuse me. Well, you know what? I bet you that God's got a place somewhere in this country where you can go to church and do it right.
Amen.
They ain't everybody wicked. They ain't everybody doing it wrong. And I know what they say, well, preacher, you think you're the one that's doing right? No, I don't think I'm the one that's doing right. And if you don't think I'm doing it right, God's got a place where you can go. There ain't no reason for you not to be on church in church on Sunday and giving your tithes and serving God, because God wasn't to set it up if he couldn't keep it open. Amen.
Right, amen.
You're not going to look at God and say, well, I can't do it down there. Well, go do it somewhere else.
Right.
God set it up. You're without excuse. And if the truth be told, they ain't doing it wrong down there where you go. You're the one that ain't doing it right. You're just trying to justify why you're not doing what's right of you.
Amen.
It's amazing the people that live like hell and fornicate and drink and cuss and do everything else they do, but the church is wrong and I can't go to church. No, you don't want to go to church. You want to fornicate and live like hell and do what's wrong and let nobody bother you. But you got to blame it on the church while you're not serving God. Listen to me. If you're saved by the grace of God and your blood washed, you are without excuse before God for not doing what's right. He's made it ready. He's prepared it. And you need to be there. I don't know about you. I get sick and tired of hearing all the excuses. And they're going to blame everybody in the church. You can't blame God.
Amen.
For you to say you're not going is to say God couldn't keep a place set up that he set up in the book for you to go. Did God not set up the local church? Did he not make it a place where you can grow in grace and tell you to go down there and give your tithes and do what's right? That's exactly what he said in that book. And you ain't going to blame God for not having a place for you to go. You do all you know what some of you young people, there'll come a time in your life, you're going to make up your mind and you're going to say, well, I ain't coming back because they treat me wrong. And you think that's going to hold water to judgment? Do you know what? They know they lied on Jesus and talked about him behind his back. They also beat him. And they also whipped him. And they also crucified him. And he didn't stop. You say, well, that's Jesus. Well, how about the disciples? How about the disciples? You know what they did to them? They locked them up in jail. Took them away from their families. Amen. Read the book of Acts over there. They bound them in prison in some cases. Amen. They beat them. They stoned them. They treated them bad. Do you know what they did? They served the Lord. You know what they went over there and said in the book of Acts? We count it joy to suffer for the cause of Christ. You know what the Lord's going to say? How could they do it, not you? You'll say, well, that was the disciples and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. What about the saints of old? I mean, go over there and read the Fox's Book of Martyrs and read history about saints of God. Hey, what about those that were burned alive at the stake and they still served God and didn't make an excuse? What about those that were torn asunder? What about those that were fed to wild animals? What about those that watched their youngest be drowned right before their eyesight and had their eyes plucked out? What about that? What about the things they went through and they still served God and still love God and didn't make an excuse by the way, the reason to get out? And we make an excuse because somebody said something. God help me, and you think that's going to hold water to judgment. People just went through. Man, you know what? I watched in my ministry as a pastor and I watched people go to church when they didn't feel like going to church. And drag themselves in there. And keep serving God. And keep staying faithful. And if they can do it, why can't we? We're without excuse. I don't care what we say. They ain't an excuse for not doing what's right. They ain't a one. I watched saints be persecuted. I watched them be in pain. I watched them go through hardships. I watched them bury their loved ones and be in church in the same week. Tell me it can't be done. You tell me God can't do it and God's grace ain't sufficient. When they could have had all the excuses and the reason why not. But they said, I love God and God's been good to me and I'm going to serve him anyhow. You know what's wrong with people? You know, I don't know what all is wrong with them, but I know one thing. Their heart ain't in the right place.
Amen.
You say, well, preacher, but I'm weak. But you know what he said? I'm strong.
Amen.
You know what they say? People say, well, I've forsaken him, and I can't serve him. You know what he says? I forgive you of your sin.
Amen.
People say, I can't. But you know what he says? I can.
Amen.
People say, well, others did me wrong. You know what he says? I didn't. When's he ever done you wrong?
Amen.
When's God ever let you down? When can you, when you think, man, we got all these things all worked out in our mind and we're blaming everybody else and you cannot shake a finger at God for not doing what he told you to do.
Amen.
We're without excuse. You say, well, preacher, I've been lied on. God, I've been lied on. You know what he says? You know what the Lord says? I know the truth. You know how many people had to make their way back to church because somebody lied on them and they had to face that shame anyhow? You know how you face that shame? God knows the truth.
Amen.
You're going to lie on somebody to justify what you do? People say it's hard. You know what he said? I'll make a way. You know what he said in John 12 and 26? He said, if any man will serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. We're without excuse for not serving him. We're without excuse.
Amen.
What about sinners today? You know what, sinner? You're without excuse for not being saved. Just as a saint of God is without excuse for not serving God, you are without excuse for not being saved. Look at Romans chapter number 1 with me. Romans chapter number 1. You're without excuse. You know what he said? I've made all things ready. I've already prepared it, man. You can't say I can't come. He's already made it ready. He said all you got to do is show up. Romans 1 and 18, the Bible says this. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. The Bible says so that they are without excuse. Sinner, you without excuse for going to hell.
Yeah, amen.
You say, well, I got all kind of excuses for not going to hell. No, you ain't got a one. Not one that counts.
Amen.
You've already been invited. You've been invited all the way to the highways and hedges. He has made all things ready for you. You know what the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9? He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. That's what God said. You said, but he don't know me. Yes, he knows you. You are all. You are one of those any. He's not willing that any should perish. You know what he goes on to say in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4? Who will have all men to be saved and to come into knowledge of the truth? He's made it ready. He's prepared a seat for you. He's got a place for you. He shed his blood for you. You are without excuse.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to go to hell anyhow. Well, you ain't going to go with a good excuse. You ain't going to be able to shake your fist at God and blame him. You say, I would get saved, but people have done me wrong. What did God do you wrong where you couldn't be saved?
Right.
You say, well, I'm not loved. Well, I care to differ. God loves you.
Yeah.
If you go to hell, you're going to have to reject his invitation and his love for you. That's how you're going to have to go. Because God made it ready for you. He's prepared it already for you. For God so loved the world. That's everybody. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You are without excuse.
Amen.
You say, I'm going to go to hell anyhow. You might, but you ain't going to have an excuse for going.
Amen.
You're going to go to a place where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched and wasn't made for you.
Amen.
God prepared a place for you.
Amen.
You're without excuse for not getting saved. Well, there's hypocrites in church. What's that got to matter? What does that mean? He said, well, I'll go anyhow. You know what he said? He said, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. You're going to go somewhere that's not made for you, and you got no excuse for going. Amen. You know what the Bible says? If you go, you're going to go to hell with Jesus Christ's blood on your hands. Because he already took your hell. He already took your sin. Amen. He already paid your price.
Thank you, bro.
He was made sin for us who knew no sin. You know what he done when he hung on that cross? He took the sins of the world on his own back. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 2 that he had tasted death for every man. You are not going to go to hell and have a good excuse. You're going to have to reject his invitation and trample over his love for your soul. You say, preacher, well, I can't save myself. That's okay. He can save you. You can't save yourself. You say, well, preacher, I would get saved, but I don't know. I don't want to go back out in the world and lose it. Don't worry. You can't keep it. He keeps it for you. Your excuses don't matter. No matter what excuse you make, God's got an answer for it. You can't save yourself? You're right, but he can. You can't keep yourself? You're right, but he can. Amen. He can do it. Amen. You say, preacher, but I can't change myself. I've turned over new leaves and tried. Don't worry. He'll change you himself. He can do it. You're without excuse. You need a change. You need a home in heaven. God can do it. He's already made it ready. You're without excuse. Child of God, stop shaking your fist at God and blaming everybody else why you can't serve God. He's never done you wrong.
Amen.
You know what? People that have done you wrong. It happens. But it is no excuse for not serving the one that has never done you wrong.
Amen.
Not at all. It ain't going to matter. At the judgment, you think you're going to talk God into making that be okay? You've lost your mind. Get right and quit living like hell and quit blaming everybody else and realize the problem is you. It's your sin that you're living in and enjoying that's separated you from your walk with God, not everybody else. You know what? Think about it. You didn't have no excuses for not serving the Lord when you were doing right. And you know what? You know what? They were talking about you then too. They were treating you wrong then too, weren't they? But you know what? You didn't have sin in your life and you weren't living like hell, so you kept serving God. Now that you got sin in your life and you're living like hell, now all that makes it justified because somebody done you wrong. No, it does not. You're without excuse. Don't you die and go to hell. You ain't gonna have no excuse. You can blame it on people in the church and blame it on crooks and you can blame it on false preachers and blame everybody you want, but you ain't going to be able to blame God that shed his blood for your sins. We are without excuse. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Stop making excuses and realize the problem is your heart. You know what Solomon said over there in Proverbs 23:26? My son, give me thine heart. And let thine eyes observe my ways. You know what the problem is? It's a heart problem. You need to get your heart right with God.